Welcome to That 80s Show. And Dori, that song, if you're listening on the podcast, you wouldn't have heard it, but Tears for Fears, Head Over Heels, has been an earworm for the longest time, but I could not get past the opening, like, two words of the song.
Why?
I don't know. So I had stuck in my head that doon, 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 and then something happened. I was like, oh my God, I was Googling. I just could not remember what song it was. It drove me mad. I'm so glad I found it. How are you doing, Dori?
I'm good. I love that song because, you know, that song belongs to Donnie Darko.
The show this week has got a very movie intensive theme, and you go, oh, you guys always do. No, there is a lot of movie content specifically around remakes this week. But before we get into that, Dori, how would you feel buying insurance from Rick Astley?
Wow, that is a tough question to answer. What kind of insurance?
Vehicle
is
insurance.
Is it insurance? Is it insurance that he will come to my bedroom?
Stop it. He insures he will never give you up. He will never let you down. He'll never turn around, nor will he desert you. So this was the brainstorming session that happened with a AAA auto insurance, right, who decided, you know what? Us as a business, we'll never give you up. We're never going to let you down. We're never going to hold on a second. Have you guys heard of Rick Astley? No, we're 23. The Rick Roll guy. No, we said we're 23. Oh, right.
So, come on, my 15-year-old knows what Rick Rolling is and Rick Astley, but I suppose that's my fault.
Yes, okay, never mind. Our kids are different, right? So they must have had this brainstorm, and someone, probably the elderly person in the room, went, hold on a second, let's reach out. Let's just ask Rick Astley's people, and will he be in our ad? So what they did is the AAA Auto Insurance got Rick Astley to recreate Never Gonna Give You Up, the music video. They changed some key things. So instead of, like, gathering around a bar, they gather around a water cooler. Instead of being in, like, some strange subway scene, they are in their boardroom. But they do recreate Rick Astley's outfit. Okay, even his, like, weird little coat, the one that we heard went missing.
Yes.
Yes, right. They found
the infamous coat.
The infamous coat. They found a replica. I'm going to give you a second, Dori, to just click on the link and watch little bits of the video and see how lovingly it's done. Not mocking Rick Astley at all.
I mean, once you've got something that's made you rich and famous your whole life, why wouldn't you just milk it for everything it's got?
And
right?
I mean, what I love about it is all the classics are there, all the classic outfits, the double jean on jean. The jean shirt with the jeans.
Mm-hmm. Is the jean pant and the jean top.
Oh, no. So all the classics are there. And he looks like he's having a blast as they deposited multiple millions of pounds into his bank account.
Exactly. And, I mean, just the use of the song, he'll get more.
Oh, must be getting a fortune. We'll post that ad up on That 80 Show SA Facebook page. Rick Astley selling insurance, and I will buy it because you are guaranteed never to be let down. What a brainstorming session that must have been. But to keep on the Rick Astley chat, we discovered something a few weeks ago. We follow an 80s account, an Irish 80s account on Twitter. A lovely lady, she's always posting up 1980s videos. Kind of like two a day. And we discovered something that I don't remember. Excuse me as I drop my studio equipment. I don't remember this phase of Rick Astley, long-haired Rick Astley. When did this happen, Dori?
I might have remembered it at the time, but, you know, the brain has aged. I saw that and I was like, I do not remember this either. So who knows when it happened?
Because Rick Astley, right, we can kind of, we're 80s fans, so we always loved him. He's back, obviously, Rick Roll, Foo Fighters, you've seen all those viral videos. Lockdown, he was a star of Lockdown, released heaps of songs, right? Released ABBA songs, his own rendition of ABBA songs. Anyway, that's Rick Astley, modern day. But in the 80s, he was kind of a novelty two-hit wonder. I mean, it's bizarre to say, right?
But
he was like a novelty. He was a huge novelty act, right? Though he's probably got one of the best voices of all time, that kind of typecast him. So it's natural that in the 90s, because these pictures, his hair is super 90s, right? That is like 90s long hair, deluxe. I mean, I remember Keanu Reeves had hair like this. We had River Phoenix had hair. Johnny Depp had hair.
Yeah.
All of the 90s, Leonardo DiCaprio had hair like this. Loads of soccer players in the 90s. This was 90s long hair.
And the thing is, it's impossible to tell because Rick Astley does not age. So yeah. You can't say, oh, this looks like he was a little bit older, so it was probably the 90s. It's impossible to tell.
No, you can't tell, but it is a glorious mane of hair. And look at that. I mean, these, we just put them up on that 80 Show SA Facebook page. You want to find yourself, it's like, and there's one, his hair's tied up in a ponytail. I mean, that's an extra bit of fun for us. So, you know, if you're thinking of, like, could I love Rick Astley more? Not only does he sell insurance, he had beautiful long hair. Rick Astley's never going to lose his hair. That's undoubted. Never gonna,
oh, yeah.
No, never going to get it. No. He will never lose his hair. That is luscious. Luscious.
I know you're jealous. I can hear the jealousy in your voice, but it's okay, Pa. It's I know. Okay. I'm it's going to be okay.
I'm not even jealous. I'm just impressed. I'm just impressed by it. Because what was his hairstyle in the 80s called? It was called the pompadour hairstyle.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yes. It's a true story. That hairstyle that he had was called pompadour. Okay. Remember that. Take that to the bank.
What I'm interested in is that in some of the pictures, his hair looks very red. And in other pictures, it looks brown. Did he dye it backwards and forwards? I don't remember this.
See, interesting question, because I think this needs more research into what was Rick Astley doing in the 90s.
I mean, when we get to interview him, we'll ask him all these questions.
We will just ask him because, you know, obviously...
In fact, I think that's how we should pitch the interview. Rick, we need to know more about your hair.
Yes. Yes, that.
Please, can we chat?
And he'll love to talk about that. He loves a joke.
He does have a very good sense of humor.
More 90s or more 80s movie remake news. Been holding this on for a while, and it's actually developed. So a few weeks ago, a story comes out. You actually mentioned Donnie Darko in the beginning. Jake Gyllenhaal, Dari, take one guess which 80s movie he's remaking.
But you told me this already.
Okay, pretend I never told you this. This mystery. take the role of the listener. That's the first time they're hearing this.
Okay. I give up.
Okay, I'll. It's a Patrick Swayze movie.
Dirty Dancing.
Oh, no. Thanks for playing along, Dory. No, the movie...
Oh, you know, I try.
That Jake Gyllenhaal is remaking, he's remaking Roadhouse. The Patrick Swayze movie Roadhouse. They're going into production like now, like next couple of weeks in the Dominican Republic, but there's been a new... And he's going to reprise the role, but here's the flip side of it. So here's how the story has developed since we first spoke about it. They've started...
Okay, hang on. Before you go on, is this going to be set in the 80s or is it like a modern setting?
It's modern because I wasn't sure until I saw the actual plot line because the new cast member that's been added is Conor McGregor. I know you're not a big sports person, but everyone knows Conor McGregor.
I know who that is.
Everyone knows Conor McGregor, right?
So that means that instead of a glorious mullet, this movie will have a glorious beard.
Ah, yes, because actually both of them are good beard men. They are both. And even in this photo here on the article on Deadline, both of them displaying good beards. So he is joining the cast. A whole bunch of other people, I don't know, Billy Magnuson, Daniela Melchior, Lucas Gage, Hannah Love, Laney, I don't know any of those people. But the new take follows a former UFC fighter, Gyllenhaal, so that's how you know it's modern day. You know, there was no UFC in the 80s, right? Who takes a job as a bouncer at a rough-and-tumble roadhouse in the Florida Keys, but soon discovers that not everything is what it seems in this tropical paradise. Okay.
Sounds like it's going to be a load of shit. Sorry, but like...
It indeed does. So... Conor McGregor is not playing himself, okay? He will be playing a character. He's not playing Conor McGregor. So, could be another... It's probably going to be another bouncer. Because I can't imagine Conor McGregor can carry like a main role by himself. But it does sound like a lot of shit. The plus side is, if you're already subscribed to Amazon, you don't have to pay extra to watch it. So you're not going to have to go to a cinema or anything like that. So that's the plus side of it. But doesn't sound good. I wonder if there will be an appearance, like just a throwback by Don Swayze. Like, do you think he'll just appear?
I mean, then I'm interested.
Yeah, you know, like just a little bit of a homage, you know, as a throwback to Patrick Swayze, who is no longer with us. So, yes.
I would need to rewatch Roadhouse because it's been very, very long since I last watched it.
Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse hair is very much Rick Astley's long hair. Very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I can't believe this entire show has been about hair.
I can, because that's a pointless topic, and that's what this show's all about. And one more, okay, one more movie remake I've got to tell you about. If you think, like, out of interest sake and novelty value, flicking through, what should I watch, and I see Jake Gyllenhaal's Roadhouse, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, let me put it on, like, maybe I'll fall asleep to it, whatever, right? Conor McGregor, there's some novelty value. Let me tell you what I will not be watching. Okay, I'm going to leave out key phrases in here, and then you guess what movie this is. Now, pretend you don't have an article in front of you, Dari. It's illusion. Okay.
What article? What are you talking about?
Exactly. Selena Gomez is developing a reboot of 1980s comedy Bleep. The Bleep reboot will mark Selena Gomez's second collaboration with Hulu after the comedy series Only Murders in the Building. Have you seen that, by the way? Only Murders in the Building?
I haven't, but I'm dying to. I've heard such good things.
Yeah, I've started watching Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. Steve Martin, genius. Right. Okay. So that's where we are.
Right.
Actor-singer is in talks to develop a reboot of the 1988 comedy. Okay. Now, this is where I'm going to give it away for you. The original film starred Sigourney Weaver, Harrison Ford, and who do you think the third one is?
Eleni Griffith, obviously.
And of course, the main character. So Selena Gomez is remaking the 1980s comedy Working Girl. That is going to stink.
Not necessarily, because Selena Gomez makes some good stuff. And let's be honest, going back to our theme of the week, the greatest thing about Working Girl was Joan Cusack's hair.
That's what I'm saying.
So without that, what does the movie matter in our lives?
You know what the thing is, what I think about it, right? So I don't think it's going to suck. It's going to be very interesting because when Working Girl came out, it was so of the time. There were no movies, TV shows, nothing like that. It was like really boundary breaking. Now there's a lot of shows that have been inspired or it's just not that unique anymore, right?
Yeah. I'm curious. I'm curious enough to give it a chance, I'll be honest.
It's definitely not receiving 6 Oscar nominations and winning the Oscar and Lifetime Achievement Award for Excellence in hair and makeup.
Hey, who's going to be in it?
No, they've just started talking about it. They haven't casting. They haven't. It's not even been approved. She's just like, you know.
I mean, are we going to assume that Selena Gomez might be in it?
Yeah, it's safe to assume she's playing Melanie Griffith's role. That's guaranteed.
Alrighty.
I bet you she'll be working.
There will be more people of color this time around.
Yes.
Well, there will be that.
So that's saying of any 80s movie, unless it was an Eddie Murphy movie. Those are remakes we have to look forward to. Roadhouse and Working Girl. I've got actually more 80s movie-related news later on, but let's actually just change the theme and talk about our 80s movies of the week. Every week.
We can do that.
Every week we go into the video shop of our mind. Oh, this weekend. I don't know how the conversation came up this past weekend. My daughter starts asking about videotapes. We're like, oh, this is like, oh, what question are we getting here? So she's like,
are they making a comeback?
It's strangely enough, no. Like everything kind of like, you know, it's so weird. Like DVDs, cassettes, vinyls, Walkman, everything, even iPods, like everything has made a comeback except a video cassette. Because let's be honest, they are the most cumbersome, clumsy things. I mean, I love them. I had thousands of them. But they are such clumsy things.
Because I have a pile of them that I'm about to throw out and I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't.
Ooh, do you have anything interesting or don't you even know what's on them?
I have an original, like bought, simply read video thing, like documentary, but it's on VHS.
Oh, I don't like them.
And I'm looking at it going, what do I do with this? Like, I can't watch it anywhere.
No, you can't.
Now I'm thinking maybe I should hang on to it.
Do you have a video player, a video cassette player?
No.
Hell, who does? Nobody has them. That's
no, not a working one at least.
It was a feat of modern engineering, and she's like, but how did it work? So I was like, well, it's kind of like, she said, how did it record? I was like, oh, I know there were magnets, or there weren't magnets. It's like, I don't
know. How does anything record?
Like, I understand how digital stuff works, right? So yeah. I get that, okay? The analog and tape, I don't understand how any of that works.
And you would to tape over tape, like it would tape over, and sometimes yes. The original recording would show through.
Oh,
like
that was early.
Imagine. And never mind that. Like, did you blow her mind with the whole VCR in the TV thing?
Yeah, we told her. We said, hey, listen, that was like having Google Nest and having a connected home. Like that is our version of the connected home. When you had that was our kitchen TV that had the video machine in it, and that actually was my first foray into piracy because it was that video cassette, that one that was linked to the TV. I realized I could make copies of videos using that one, Yes, then I started making my own collections, went to the video store, hide the movies. You'll never catch me. They never took me alive. Because they say, no, you cannot record this, right? So I was like,
yeah.
No, bullshit. Let me try it. And you can. You could record it.
Of course you could.
Nothing stopping. There's nothing to say I can't record.
It was a moral warning, not a technical warning.
Yes. And also I figured, oh, FBI. Are the FBI really going to come to South Africa and like stop a kid because he recorded like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I mean, they're not going to do that. So I wasn't worried. Unless there's noise outside my house now. It sounds like cars. Ooh. I'm telling you.
They've come to get you. It's taken 40 years, but they've come to get you.
There's no proof. Well, there's proof now. I just admitted to it online. To literally threes of people. So, if we were going to the video store this weekend with the intention of making copies, what would we be making from Dory's side?
Oh, no. You would not be making a copy of this movie because it's horrendous.
Oh.
It's terrible. Plus, you can watch the whole thing on YouTube. That's how bad it is.
Oh, okay. It's no copy.
Let me give you some context. So yesterday I was like, oh, need a movie for the show. Don't know what I'm doing. Let me use the random movie generator.
Yes. So, before you carry on, random movie generator, right? Mm. We discovered this a while ago. You go on it. There's loads of them. Dory, I can't remember the one we were using. I couldn't find it. But
I use a specific one. I think it's random.io or something like that. Okay. I don't know, randommoviegenerator.io or something. I can't remember.
That's the one, right?
I just always tend to use the same one, yeah.
And you just like fill in like a couple of tabs, like genre, years, and how many, and it'll just spit out a whole bunch of movies for you to watch, right? So we use that. It's great.
Yes.
Lots of fun. You actually spend more time going through that than you actually spend watching a movie. Because, I remember this movie. And then you just watch the trailers.
So I've discovered with the random movie generator, don't even bother putting in comedy because I've seen them all. We've done them all. It's been done. So I looked at all the other genres yesterday and I noticed there was one that said crime. And I was like, oh, I haven't tried that one. So I tried it, and of course, all the Beverly Hills Cop movies come up, a few other things that we've spoken about in the past. But then there was one that came up that I was like, I have not heard of this movie. Let me delve into this rabbit hole. Discovered the entire movie was on YouTube. Thought, I've got a couple of hours free. I'll give that a watch. boy, those are 2 hours I'm never getting back. So bad. But I mean, so bad that I have to talk about it. Because what this experience has done is it has introduced me to one of the worst B-grade non-actors that ever existed. And I need to tell you what work he did while he was with us, because his list of accolades, well, let's get there. The movie is from 1985, and it's actually under, if you like look it up, it says it's a horror, but it's a crime. So it's supposedly based on a true story, and it's about a serial killer. The movie is called Confessions of a Serial Killer.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of it?
Yes.
Probably not, right?
No.
Probably not, because I hadn't heard of it.
You know what I'm thinking of? So I Married an Axe Murderer. That's what I'm thinking of.
No, nothing like that. That's a great film. No. So this is called Confessions of a Serial Killer, and it is supposedly based, and I'm doing the inverted comma things with my fingers, based on a true story about a true serial killer. The only part that's true is, so this guy, even in the movie, his name is different, but what it is based on is that there was this guy who was caught for something random. And then while he was at the police station, he went, by the way, I've killed over 200 people. Let me tell you all the stories. And he sits there for hours and hours and days and tells the police about all these murders that he's committed.
Okay.
It turns out that he made up most of them or lied about most of them. So what he would do was, so he was a killer. He had killed some people, but he was only in the end convicted on like 3 murders. But he obviously thought, well, that's not impressive. I need to like make that sound like a much better serial killer. So he remembered stories of killings or missing people from the news. And he was like, I killed them. I did it. Kind of thing.
Right.
And I think, and from what I've read, what happened in real life, the actual real story is the police were like, oh my God, this guy's going to help us solve so many crimes. So they brought out all these like folders of all their unsolved crimes and missing people and went, yeah, look through and tell us which ones you did. And of course he just randomly pointed and went, I did that one, I did that. And because of this, a whole bunch of people who actually had committed the crimes were never caught because this guy took responsibility for them. And it turned out he was full of shit.
Okay.
So this is what the movie's about. The entire movie is set with him in the police station telling the cops the story. And then there's obviously flashbacks where he's telling stories and he like tells them and they like do flashbacks kind of thing. But the whole time they're like giving him really nice food. They're giving him like cheeseburgers and chocolate milkshakes. And he's like, oh, this is great. This is cool. I'm getting nice food. I'm getting notoriety. So he carries on.
Right.
And it sounds great, right? Except that the movie is so bad and the acting is so bad. Even though it came out in 1985, it's got a very 70s feel to it. A lot of the stories are set like more in the 70s because he's going back and he's telling stories from like before. It's just, oh my God, it's tiresome to watch, but it's like a car accident. You can't stop watching. And I did get through it. I skimmed a few bits here and there, but I actually more or less watched the entire film. And the worst part is the end is just so random and so sudden that you're like, what, did they run out of budget? They couldn't end the movie properly.
Really? I love that.
It's so random. And then I was just like, oh, so that's why I read up more about it. But you know what? It doesn't matter. The movie's called Confessions of a Serial Killer. If you feel like watching something like really dumb and with bad acting, it's on YouTube. But what I do want to tell you about is the main star in inverted commas. His name was Robert A. Burns.
Right.
And he was actually an art director and a production designer who worked on many famous films. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Hills Have Eyes, a movie called The Howling, which I haven't seen, but my husband said is great. Reanimator, which I've heard of. Mm-hmm. A bunch of horror movies. He was the art director on. In fact, let me read you the list because some of these have great titles. Don't Go Near the Park. Right. Disco Godfather.
Yes.
Microwave Massacre.
Okay.
He also had a starring role in Microwave Massacre as Homeless Man.
Oh, yes.
Okay, yes. So clearly he was working on these movies and then, you know, they need an extra here and there. They would just go, hey, you over there, come be this person. Because he also starred as porn store patron in The Howling.
Okay.
And wait, man in overalls in Walker, Texas Ranger.
Is that in any way, was he reprising his porn store guy role?
But his character in this movie, Confessions of a Serial Killer, I mean, he is in overalls some of the time. He's got a mustache. He is the creepiest looking guy ever. And it's so unrealistic. But I guess that's the point of it. It's so unrealistic where he's this really creepy guy and he'll pull over because there's a woman hitchhiking or there's a woman whose car's broken down on the side of the road. And he'll pull over and say, "Can I help you?" And he's so creepy. And they'll be like, "Sure, thanks so much for stopping." And it's like, no, just no, that's not realistic at all. I mean, there's this one scene where this woman, him and his friend are moving furniture for someone, and they see this really pretty woman in the garden next door.
Right.
And she's wearing, it's very 80s, so she's wearing those little 80s short shorts. And so they find out that her air conditioner is broken, so they pitch up at her house.
Wait, sorry. This sounds like porn.
It is porn. Oh, by the way, there's lots of boobs in the movie. It is semi-porn. There's lots of boobs in the movie. There's also lots of blood. It's actually very gory and very graphic. And I actually, some of the scenes I had to forward through a bit because it was like, wow, that's a bit hectic. Oh my God. And then there's this scene where they go back to his childhood, where he talks about his terrible childhood. And what happened was his father was like stuck in a wheelchair because he had come back from some war.
Right.
And he was stuck in a wheelchair. And then his mother came home with these two men and she starts having sex with the two men on the couch in front of the father and the kids.
What the hell?
It was so hectic. I was just like, oh my God. And then the father kills himself. And it's like, and so it's like, oh, well, no wonder this guy's so messed up and becomes a serial killer because look at his upbringing. Look at the home that he grew up in kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, wait, I'm telling you. So they see this pretty lady with the short shorts in the garden next door and they pitch up at her house at night at like 10 o'clock at night saying, we heard your air conditioner is broken. We've come to fix it. And she goes, sure, thanks. And lets them in. And of course they kill her. That's unrealistic. That's unrealistic. No woman who's by herself will let people in the house. That's crazy.
Yeah, but
strangers.
But I mean, it's like it's a horror movie. It's like you're a noise and you go towards the noise. It's like you're the noise. I'm going to press the panic button. Like, get out of there.
But exactly. But and the point is that he is making the stories up. It is rubbish. Like, in real life, he did make it up. So, and the cops were very suspicious. They were like, this doesn't really make sense. We're not sure about this. But, yeah, it's just, it was such a random movie. But I have to talk about it because, you know, I spent 2 hours of my life on it.
Yes, no.
And it is not a recommendation unless you are extremely bored.
Well, so there's a couple of things here, right? So I'm looking at the cast list. Carla Edson plays a role as the honky tonk girl, which that's interesting to me. I'd like to see more of that. Right. The movie poster is very like he's got the Silence of the Lambs mask on, right?
Yeah.
So it's got a little bit of that on. Out of interest. I see another thing here is that a name that I haven't heard or read in absolute ages is the horror magazine Fangoria. My word, I haven't. Oh. Do you remember that?
I do.
Oh, my word, I haven't heard of that. I mean, and Fangoria was this, I mean, if you remember, from the 80s and 90s, and it's focused specifically on horror movies, special effects in horror movies. Remember, conservative 80s, like it was in some magazine shops, but you weren't allowed, like, even looking at it. Like, you've, like, found it at some places. It actually is still around as a website, though, and you can buy past issues. But, yeah, so Fangoria had a book of the 101 best horror movies you've never seen, and this movie was in it.
I don't know if best is the correct word, but okay.
It does sound, listen, Fangoria headlines, violence, chimp attack. this is one of those. you know what? It's one of those movies, Confessions of a Serial Killer. You would have heard of it. It's like kind of, it feels like one of those movies that if you're a completist about watching a certain genre of movie, you have to have watched it. Like, good or bad, you have to have watched it.
I guess I was like, oh, I haven't watched a good crime film in ages. Let me give this a try. And I still haven't watched a good crime film in ages.
So just tell me, because I'm not going to watch it and no one is. Spoiler alert, yeah. How does it end?
Well, I can't even remember the specific details, but it was like...
It was all a dream.
First of all,
It was all a dream.
No. So the last story, like, was the longest flashback. Because, like I said, the entire thing, he's sitting in the police station. And it's, like, the longest flashback. And he tells the story about how they... Because it's actually quite complicated. So he's hanging out with this guy who, by the way, he has a sexual relationship with this guy. And oh, then this guy brings his sister along for this road, this like killer road trip that they're on. And then he marries the sister, but he says, but it was a normal relationship. We didn't have sex. And yes, and then at some point the other guy disappears and it's just him and the girl and they get picked up by this doctor who he gets a flat tire and they help him and they're about to kill him. And then he's like, oh, I've got somewhere for you guys to live and I can give you jobs. So they're like, okay, well, let's try this thing out. And they go with him and they try and do the jobs. And he gives them this dodgy place to live above the garage. And at first it's all lovely and they're trying to be normal citizens. And then eventually they're like, and the next thing they're like chainsawing and mutilating bodies in their room.
Oh God.
It was so weird. So the end is like, so this whole thing is this whole story. And then, and the doctor has this really pretty daughter who's in college, but she's there from the college. Oh, and she's like sunbathing topless in the one scene. And anyway, long story, lots of boobs. Like I say, you'll enjoy it for the boobs. Anyway, the guy gets his sights on this girl. That he's like, oh, I really want this girl kind of thing. And it's quite complicated, but in the end, he does get her. And from what I remember, that's exactly, because the whole thing is you don't know how he gets caught initially, right? Okay. Why is he in the police station in the first place? So he gets this girl eventually, and the next thing you just see, he's driving in the car at night, and then there's this girl hitchhiking by the side of the road, and he pulls over to stop, and she's about to get in the car and she looks in the back seat and she sees this just an arm under a blanket, but there's blood on the arm. And she like quickly goes, ah, and she like runs away. And anyway, she gets away from him. And then he's like, ah, oh, damn. And he gets on the road again. And then these cops suddenly pull up behind him. I don't know why. I don't know why the cops pulled him over for no apparent reason. And they search his car. And of course the daughter's head, her severed head is in the boot of the car, the trunk of the car. And then that's obviously how I got caught. And then it ends. Okay.
I'm kind of sorry I asked. So I want to give a little insight into that 80s show is that, you know, Dari's actually watched the movie when she talks so in depth about the movie.
And I don't always watch the movie, but this time yes. I did.
And you're like, if I had to suffer through it, you're going to get it. You're going to get a comprehensive. Tell me, how bad was the head? Because of the prosthetic head, how bad was it?
Oh, no, it actually looked very realistic.
Oh, really?
But the thing that wasn't realistic was that her eyes were open and they still looked perfectly blue. And as we know, a real severed head would not have perfectly blue eyes. But that's just me speaking forensically.
How do we know, Dari? So I've confessed to pirating. You could have just confessed to decapitation. So that's Dari's movie, Confessions of a Serial Killer. My movie is... take a listen to this.
Less than 12 hours ago, this man had a good job and a promising future. Last night, he went on a blind date. Today, he's paying the price.
You're allowed 2 phone calls.
It's me. Walter. Your brother, Walter. And I'm just calling to thank you for fixing me up with Nadia last night. And she's gorgeous. Oh, you were right about not letting her drink. It was really cute how a little champagne brought out those charming quirks in her personality.
Walter, what?
She made quite an impression on my boss, too.
I'm fired.
Fired?
But you know what really elevated the evening out of the realm of the ordinary? Having Nadia's psychotic ex-boyfriend as a chaperone.
You son of a bitch!
And you know those dancing lessons we had to take in junior high, Teddy? Finally came in handy.
Dennis! Moonwalk! I hate that!
My evening was so entertaining, so exhilarating, so stimulating, such an utterly unforgettable experience that if I weren't already behind bars, I'd be committing a murder right now! Yours!
Kim Basinger, Bruce Willis, Blind Date.
Anybody out there got 10 grand for bail?
So that is my movie of the week, Blind Date.
I came so close to doing it recently.
Oh, you're kidding.
I swear. But then I was like, oh, I need to rewatch it because I don't remember enough about it. And I also don't remember loving it at the time. I remember it being okay.
So it was a box office flop, kind of didn't make much money. But it was it was a critical flop, but a box office success. Obviously, because it had Kim Basinger and Bruce Willis. It was his first role, his first actual movie role. This is a year before Die Hard. He was the hottest TV star. I don't think anyone, like, you can kind of forget that nowadays, like, the transition between TV and movies is kind of different. Mm. It's like, it's not the same as what it used to be. Like, people were gagging for Bruce Willis, this like super charismatic, sexy, funny, just everything to get away from moonlighting and just be in the pictures. And this was his first movie. He wasn't even the main, I mean, Kim Basinger, you heard there, she had top billing. Bruce Willis is in it. Also starred John Larroquette. He is the boyfriend. You hear the boyfriend mentioned there.
Yes.
Right. So basically what the story is, you kind of give it away a little bit there in the trailer, is that Bruce Willis is set up on a blind date by his brother, played by Phil Hartman. And of course, Phil Hartman is passed away. He was a huge comedy actor, loads of voices on The Simpsons, and he plays Bruce Willis's brother, sets up on the blind date, and kind of says, but look, Phil Hartman's wife says she's got a major drinking problem. And the brother just plays it off as like, no, you kind of want to give her a few drinks to have fun. But she's like, has a few drinks, and she completely goes nuts, right? And he takes her to a company function, and literally in the write-up, shenanigans ensue. That's what it says. It says shenanigans. Right? It is just filled with shenanigans. There are, I mean, 7 or 8 standout scenes from the actual company function. Every time John Larroquette appears, it is just, he steals every scene that he's in. There's loads of dancing scenes. He follows them to a house. The house disappears. Bruce Willis's car gets stolen, but piece by piece. It's like this gag about his car and little bits of his car getting stolen off. It is just shenanigans the whole way through. William Daniels, the voice of Kit, plays I think he's the judge. He pops up, the judge, and Mr. Feeney for 90s kids out there. That's the movie, Blind Date, just lots of fun, lots of shenanigans. Bruce Willis's first starring role. And you know what's the thing about Bruce Willis, right? And there's been a lot of sad news about him lately, is that he's actually, there are very few actors, I think, still even to this day, that are this perfect blend of their super funny, super quirky, but super like action guy, all in one.
Yeah.
You know, and when Bruce Willis is funny, he's really, really funny because he's like quite manic, but tough guy, but he just works. Just you got to kind of go back to his old stuff and just remember how funny Bruce Willis is. Kim Basinger, no blonde hair. She's a brunette in this movie. It actually took me a while to go, oh, it is Kim Basinger. Weird though, because it's like typecast her as a blonde.
Okay.
I haven't found any online, but of course you could always just hit me up and I'll make a counterfeit for you. You know, just
yes, because that's what you do.
that's what I do. That made my pocket money. Dory, will you be watching my movie?
I would certainly watch your movie before I watch mine.
Oh, okay, good. Okay. Yes. So my movie, Blind Date, Dory's movie, Confessions of a Serial Killer. Let's have a little bit of a song break. And then we'll be talking about Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Welcome back to That 80 Show. Big country for Dory. I think one of the only big country fans left in the world. You love them.
Oh, come on.
You love them.
I do love, like, the hits. I don't love all their stuff, but that's probably my favorite song of theirs. So, yeah.
We spoke earlier about Roadhouse getting a remake and Working Girl getting a remake. Ferris Bueller is getting a spin-off.
Oh, dear.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what it's about. Have a think about this, right? Mm-hmm. So the same guys who did the spin-off of Karate Kid, Cobra Kai, okay? The guys who did that. So there's a new Cobra Kai coming. I don't know what – I'm going to – look, I'm going to watch it.
I didn't make it through the last one.
Really?
So. No. Yeah.
It's fan stuff right now. Like I say, I don't know who Cobra Kai is made for anymore. It was definitely made for, like, fans of Cobra Kai. Then it was kind of made – well, those people probably have kids now, so it was made for the kids. I don't even know –
You mean fans of Karate Kid?
Karate Kid, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
– I don't know who's making it, who it's for now, who it's catered for anymore. But anyway, it's the new season is season five or something. Yeah,
maybe.
And that's coming out on New Year's Day. I think I saw the latest. So it's those guys have gone, okay, let's try it with Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right?
Okay.
Take a listen to this. So it is a spin-off. It is set in the same time as Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but it's not Ferris Bueller, or not based on Matthew Broderick or Alan Ruck's characters. Okay?
Okay.
It is based on two, you'll remember them. So we obviously know the Ferrari from Ferris Bueller, one of the most famous cars from 80s movies, 1961 Ferrari 250 GT, California Spider. It belonged to Cameron's father. They take it for a joyride, and then, of course, they put it to run backwards, and it goes flying out of the garage, right?
Right.
On the joyride, they drop it off at a parking garage, and the two parking garage attendants take it.
Yes, take it for a joyride.
Their own joyride set to the Star Wars theme.
Right.
Right. So those two characters didn't have names, okay?
Mm.
It was a black dude and a Hispanic dude. They were just side characters, took the car.
Of course, those were the characters of color who were criminals, of course.
Of course, right? Okay. Well, listen, all the rich white kids were criminals as well. They started all the shit.
That's true.
But they got away with it, right? So this movie is – this spin-off series is based on them. They've been given names. They Sam and Victor. Those were apparently their names. They didn't have names in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And they are now being given their own spin-off series, Cobra Kai style. I don't – those are real words that I just said. It's called Sam and Victor's Day Off.
Okay.
And that's what it is, Dory. What are your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts is it's going to be awful. What is the possible storyline here?
I mean, is it going to be one day? You know what I mean? So how can you carry on multiple seasons just based on one day, right? Cause, and I imagine it's going to pick up from – it's obviously going to collide, right, of their morning. They then get the car. They're then going to recreate that scene. That it's then going to be what happened afterwards. But I mean, surely it's going to be about a lot more stuff, and it's going to be it's going to be cheesy.
I mean, maybe if we keep an open mind and see it as something completely different and new and not related to the original film, maybe it'll be entertaining. I will attempt to keep an open mind.
I love to know what made them think of like such two random characters, because obviously the easy thing, we know there was a TV show in the 90s of Ferris Bueller TV show. I think it was like two episodes before they canned it.
With the one with Jennifer Aniston.
Yes, right. So, and that's a real thing. If you haven't listened to all the shows in the 90s, there was a Ferris Bueller pilot. It starred Jennifer Aniston very young, and they just ditched it straight away. But they say if she was available, if she was doing that show, if it had gone the two seasons that they thought, she might not have auditioned for Friends. Who knows, right? We don't know what happened. But
imagine no Friends.
Imagine no Friends. Kind of,
or Friends without Jennifer Aniston. Imagine.
Oh, I thought you said I was imagining no Friends. It was kind of like high school for me. So, so what makes you think you're watching? Because there must have been something going like, we watch Ferris Bueller. What other background characters are going to get spin-offs? You know, like the barman, the other barman from like Cocktail. Like they're suddenly going to do a spin-off series, you know? It's like Patrick Swayze's mullet.
I mean, I would watch a spin-off series of The Headmaster because I thought he was very funny.
Oh, yes. Oh, but didn't he get... wasn't he Me Too'd? That guy?
Was he?
I think he got... Yes, I think he got Me Too'd.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think he got Me Too'd. Oh, we'll look it up, but I think, yeah, I think he got Me Too'd. The receptionist from Ghostbusters, like, should she get her own working... That's the collab, right? Have her in the Working Girls remake. It's her story. Sounding like, hey, Annie Potts.
Now you're getting ridiculous.
Okay, now I'm getting ridiculous. Now, Dori, we're going to close off the show. Listen, you and I have had our share of technical difficulties today, right? You guys don't know what happens behind the scenes. Scrambling. The show sounds so professional, so polished. You don't know what's happening behind the scenes. In the 1980s, people were scared shitless of computer viruses. I found this clip, it's hilarious, of the news reporting about a computer virus that has overtaken... I can't even describe this. Just take a listen. So dramatic.
Life in the modern world has a new anxiety these days. Just as we've become totally dependent on our computers, they're being stalked by saboteurs. Saboteurs who create computer viruses. The Defense Department, universities, and research centers are still recovering tonight from a computer virus that brought a nationwide network to a standstill. One of the institution's hardest hit was MIT. David Boeri reports.
It was first spotted at NASA Ames and Rand.
It came from California, maybe, traveled by electronic mail. It spread across America.
How insidious was this virus?
Well, it spread very quickly.
There are reports in newspapers today that it has made its way to Europe and to Australia.
It arrived at MIT in the middle of the night. The students were safe. Their computers weren't.
Just ran. It would enter your machine. It would do its thing. It would go to other machines.
At MIT, 200 computers were infected. Across the country, the toll might be 6,000. It could have been worse.
We believe it was intended to spread more slowly than it did so that it wouldn't be noticed as quickly, which would actually have been more insidious if it spread out to a large number of machines and, say, held a surprise and did something.
Mark Eichen, student and part-time virus hunter.
Once we had it stopped, we were able to take it apart, sort of like dissect it and tear it apart piece by piece.
These three processes right here, these three programs, the SH with the parens around them, are in fact copies of the virus that are running there.
It's not really a virus. It's a code, a set of instructions, an act of sabotage that started on a floppy disk. This virus spreads by disk and by telephone. It's just a call away. And like a virus, it replicates like crazy.
Look at this, and look at this, and look at this.
And as it replicates, the code, the so-called virus, eats up large amounts of memory. It wipes out stored data or cripples the hardware. This virus clogged a system linking thousands of computers, but apparently did no damage.
It's benign. It's not malicious. It attempts to do no damage besides propagate itself. And that's why I think it's a warning.
The suspect, somewhere, a dark genius.
I suspect it's an A student. A good A student.
So lost computer time, but no files destroyed. Just a thrill for the virus hunters and a warning.
My personal speculation is that this is somebody who is trying to warn people to say, it can happen to you.
Oh, my God. That is so amazing. I want to, like, sample that entire thing and make a weird song out of it.
I know. And, Dori.
It's so dramatic.
I know you know the meaning of this word, but insidious means proceeding in a gradual, subtle way, but with very harmful effects. Got used quite a number of times.
My favorite part was part-time virus hunter. What is he doing his other part? What is he in Spitter?
Oh,
that's my question.
Oh, no. You see, now, I've got the visuals. We're going to put this up on that 80 show. That 80 Show SA Facebook page, so you can watch the visuals. That part-time virus hunter, it looks like Indiana Jones. He's got an Indiana Jones hat on. I'm not joking with you. He's an MIT student. The best part of this is kind of like seeing all the students in the background. Because now, right, geeks are cool.
Mm.
Okay, in the 80s, they were geeks.
looks like Revenge of the Nerds. It is so funny. And like even in the little bits part there, they cut in like movie scenes. So there was a movie Virus from the 70s. Or could be 80s, if it is. I'm reviewing it.
Might have been 80s, yeah.
They cut it in. The little video game sound effect was the terrible E.T. video game. I don't know if you've ever heard the story that they say that game was so bad it could have destroyed gaming altogether because it was such a shit game. They lost so much money that it took them decades even to get people to get interested in gaming again. So those were that little computer sound effects. But it is glorious. Like, I think I got six viruses just while we've been doing the show.
I am going to go and watch it immediately. So I want to watch the whole thing again.
Just to recap, to finish off the story. So the virus was actually created. It was called the Morris Worm. And the guy who made it, Robert Tappan Morris, and he created this virus and started putting it into infected machines. And it says the total damage was estimated to be in millions of 1980s dollars, right? So this guy then starts working Morris. He launches his own worm program from the computer lab at MIT, and he gets convicted. He gets a felony conviction in 1986, gets an appeal, community sentence, and a fine. He then finds an online web store company, ViaWeb. I'm sure you've heard that name. But you wouldn't
have
you would have heard that name. Yahoo, you would have heard that name as well, kind of precursor to Google. Buys his company for $49 million in the late 90s. And then, in an ironic twist, he returns to academia as a professor at MIT.
Where is the movie about this? Where is this?
I'm telling you, I'm watching that before I'm watching Confessions of a Serial Killer. We got to put that up. No, this the one student they spoke to, the part-time virus hunter, he looks like he's got lots of viruses in his body. But he also looks... Oh, great story. And we can relate because I feel we have gremlins again on that 80s show. Thank you for joining us. Everything we spoke about today can be found on that 80s show SA Facebook page. Share this podcast with a friend. Hit subscribe, review, comment, like. Do all those nice things. Dori, what's your favorite factoid from this week's show?
That you've been a criminal your whole life?
Yes. Yes, I have been.
That would be it.
I've been a pirate.
That and all the hair stuff. I mean, you know.
I'm obsessed.
The hair stuff's good too.
I'm obsessed with Rick Astley's long hair, drape it over. Oh, you can just imagine that mullet just draping over the collar of his jackets. It's amazing stuff. Thanks for joining me, Dori. Goodbye.
Bye.